We're going to go to the Word of the Lord today. We're going to celebrate mothers, but we're going to focus on one aspect of what mothers have always meant to me. In my particular life, I grew up with a praying mom. It was my mom who led me in that first prayer that gave my life to the Lord. I still get messages from my mom saying that she is praying for me. She prays for different members of the family all day long. She prays for everybody at one point, I imagine, but then one person is dedicated each day of the until they cycle through. It's practically a whole month before I get to be prayed for again, but nonetheless, my mom prays and is involved in that lifestyle of prayer. But we're going to be talking about prayer today and what exactly prayers mean to each and every one of us. Because, you know, the idea of prayer is as individual as they come. Everyone thinks that prayer is one thing or another, but the types of prayers that we offer tend to reveal a great deal about ourselves. There are some people that offer prayers, and I want to, please forgive me for the way I'm going to phrase it, but they're very selfish prayers. Basically, they come before God as though God is the Santa Claus in the sky and is their Christmas list. Now, it's one thing for a small child to make a Christmas list. It's another thing for a grown adult who claims to be mature in Christ to nothing but give a Christmas list of wants to God. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that and the fact that our prayers reveal a great deal about who we are. And a question that I'm going to ask you at the very beginning is, what do you hope for when you're praying? Because some people say that they are praying and they're hoping for what they're praying about. For example, I've had people come to me and say, "Pastor, pray with me that I win the lottery. I'll tithe off of it." You know what I mean? I just wonder what the prayer would reveal about us. Because sometimes those prayers can be about us. And what are we hoping for when we're praying? If we're praying for winning the lottery, we're probably hoping that we win the lottery. If we are praying that we get a new car, we probably are hoping for a new car. If we're praying for, you know, whatever it is that we're praying for, odds are pretty good that that's what we're actually hoping to get. But let's look at what the Word of God says to us. Jesus was approached in the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to read the text that corresponds there in chapter 11 and verse 1 and following. It says, "One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Then Jesus said to them, 'Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine has come on a journey. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, if we look at this text here, we go to the first step, and to be able to be a person that's fruitful in prayer will be somebody who is desiring to pray. Notice what it has there in the opening section of our text. The disciple comes to Jesus and says, teach me to pray. The desire to pray reveals a great deal about us. Some people pray because they have to. Some people pray because they were taught that before a meal you're supposed to pray. We follow through with different aspects, but if we're praying only because we are now obligated to, now don't get me wrong, I think it's correct to obligate people at times. I do. Because I think you'll learn something in the process of being obligated. How many have ever been obligated to do something? How many didn't like it at the time? Well, you know, sometimes it was just good for us. For example, in my family, we have devotional at night, and we cycle. We read the scripture text that we're going through, and in my household, we have the three, my wife, daughter, and myself, and so we will alternate every other verse the next person reads. That way nobody gets distracted and forgets what we're doing, right? So we're reading through the scripture. And then every day we rotate and we'll say, all right, you prayed last night, so tonight is your turn, what have you. And, you know, you could say, well, what happens if you get to the time when it's my turn to pray and I don't want to pray? I'm just in a bad mood and I don't feel like praying. Well, you know what? You have to pray anyway. That's what we do in our house. There's times when they just had a bad day, and they say, you know what, it'd be better if somebody else prayed. Nope, it's your turn. And we have the same kind of a situation in my car on the way to school in the morning. I take my grandson most of the time with my daughter to school. And for years, all growing up, I've prayed with them as they would go to school, praying for all kinds of things, praying for wisdom for the teachers that day, for health and security of the kids, that no one would be hurt, that they would have lots of smarts, that they would show how good they are and have a good testimony throughout the day. And what? On sports day, that they would run faster and jump higher than all the rest of the kids. So this last week, we were doing it, and we do the same thing, rotating. And it's cute. Because for a long time, I used to be the only one praying, but then we decided to start rotating. And then it's cute to hear my grandson Elijah praying in the car and help me run faster and jump higher or what have you in his prayer. But on Wednesday, it was my grandson's turn. And so on Thursday, when we were getting in the car and we were coming to the school, I said, so whose turn is it today? And the only time I ask whose turn is it, when it's my turn, because they're going to jump and say, it's your turn. And instantly, my grandson in the back, because I looked back and I said, so whose turn is it today? And because he had just prayed the day before. And he said, it's my turn again. And it surprised me, and it was a blessing at the same time, because although at times we are obligated, we can end up developing an appetite, and we can end up knowing that prayer is a quality and powerful tool in our lives. Even in the Bible school, Pastor Blanca ends up with the Bible school students. They cycle and turn, taking turns in prayer. And some of them, at the beginning, you have to kind of whisper along, and they repeat after you. But then they learn, and they're growing in that capacity to pray. And some are praying not because they're obligated or it's their turn. Some may find themselves praying because they were told that good Christians are supposed to pray. But if you ask them, does prayer accomplish a lot? There's a lot of people who have the concept that prayer really doesn't accomplish that much. And namely, they'll tell you, I don't seem to get what I'm asking for. God doesn't seem to respond. My prayers seem to be bouncing off the ceiling. They don't have an understanding of what prayer is all about. And we'll get into that in just a moment. But there's a lot of believers, and don't get me wrong, I think they are believers. They have a misunderstanding of what prayer is, and they go through life thinking that their prayers don't get answered. And so we're going to be talking about that a little bit today. But others pray simply because they want to, and they want to know God more. And if you notice in this particular text that we just read there in the book of Luke, what we find is that Jesus actually spends very little time instructing them on how to pray. The question that is posed, or the request given to Jesus, is, teach us to pray. And then he offers four lines as though this is your guide, and he spends very little time about how to pray and spends a great deal of time talking about what we are actually hoping for, our attitude toward prayer. And this is something that tells me what was important to Jesus. What we have to understand isn't that we memorize a few choice words, that we pray the Lord's Prayer and we have it memorized. Just because we have something memorized doesn't make it something that's more powerful for us. The Catholic Church has Hail Marys and people that never have a life that's changed and transformed, and they just learn these things over and over again. In Spanish, there's actually two words for what we have as a concept of praying, and one is oración and the other is rezar, and one means this free-flowing prayer life while the other is a recited prayer, like what they are taught in Catholic school. And so what are we really talking about when we talk about praying? So Jesus gives us the example of an annoying neighbor. Now, I'm going to ask two questions, and you know, you can be honest. I give you permission. Be honest. How many have ever had an annoying neighbor? How many have ever been an annoying neighbor? All right. Well, we have some honest people here. But here we have this annoying neighbor that shows up at midnight, and or 1 o'clock in the morning, or 2 o'clock. We don't know what the time is, obviously. All we know is that the doors are closed, everyone's asleep in bed, and the annoying neighbor insists, please give me some bread. And what Jesus highlights is that he ends up getting what he's after because of his persistence. Now, don't use this as a takeaway for our lives in prayer. God never thinks of you as an annoying neighbor. You have never gone to God at an inopportune time. When we knock on the door of heaven and we go before the Lord in prayer, regardless of what time of day it is, regardless of which day of the week it is, God always welcomes us. So that's not the takeaway from the story. But Jesus is trying to emphasize the need for our persistence, that we continually move before God. And again, if you connect it to the opening, because we want to be before God. The disciples said, teach us to pray, because they wanted to be in God's presence. Their goal wasn't to get a Christmas list, but rather to know God more. That was the plan. And so Jesus says, be persistent about knowing God, because God really cares about you. It's not about, and let me give the correction here, it's not about my wishes and desires like a Christmas list, but it's more about my burdens and my worries. Because Jesus says to us that we can cast our cares on him. In Psalm 55 and verse 22, it says, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Jesus says, put your burdens on me, because he's going to give us that light load. Later on, Peter reminds us of the same idea in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. So there's a great difference between me going before God and saying, oh, I'm dreaming of that new Mercedes, and me saying, I have a family member that is in a desperate state because of drugs, because of this problem. I have this issue where creditors are calling or what have you. That worry, that burden that's upon us, that's a huge issue for us emotionally, spiritually as well. And that's what God is talking about, not this list of desires and wishes that I want. And if we get the confused idea that if we just ask for something and we're persistent enough about it, and we get up in the morning and we say, God, give me that new Mercedes, and we're so persistent we're willing to do that five times a day, and we continue on, and after a year we still don't have the new Mercedes, and we say, God just doesn't listen to me, because we missed the whole point. is not about having that prayer be answered. God actually wants to come and help us with every problem we have. Every single difficulty. And if I ask you how many times a day do you have a problem, if we're honest with ourselves, we have potential problems hundreds of times a day. Well, I'll give you an example. Yesterday, my wife and daughter and I were traveling, and we were just outside Ciudad Guzman. If you don't know where that is, it's about an hour and a half away, where we had a tire separate. And in my car, there's no spare tire. And obviously, that was a time of intercession. God, help us. We need to be able to get home. We need to have this happen. We need to have these things happen. And you know what? God answered the prayer. You know how I can tell you for proof? I'm here. You see? Now, then this morning, you say, okay, so big things, God intervenes. But, you know, this morning I had another problem. I went over to the store. We were going to, and by the way, moms, we're going to thank you with a slice of cake. And somebody made the comment today, they said, no roses this year. And I said, no, because we had a couple of moms last year comment after Father's Day when the fathers got cupcakes that they really wished they had something sweet. So we went with the cake. You're going to get a slice of cake afterwards. And so I went to go get some plates for the cake. And I'm in the store waiting to pay for the cake, not the cake, but the plates for the cake. And the person in front of me is having a problem. How many of you have ever had a person in front of you have a problem when you're trying to get out in a hurry? All right. So I was there waiting, and they gave a credit card that did not go through. So they gave another credit card or debit card. I don't know. It was just a card that did not go through. And, you know, before you judge me and say, why didn't you just jump to the help and pay for it? If it was a Coke, I would have done that. But he had a 300,000 or 3,000 peso bill that he was trying to cover. And I don't know if it was the credit card or the machine. I don't know. You know, sometimes it could be either or. And so I look to the other side of me, behind me, and here's a cashier that isn't doing anything. And so I look over and I say, can you charge me? And she says, yes. And I put my stuff over and put it over by her stand. At that exact moment, another person comes up and puts their stuff in from the front of the line. And she had already said to me that she was going to charge me for my stuff. But she didn't. She proceeded to charge that person. And there was a person that got behind them. There was three people, actually, that ended up. Now, I know that you think of me as this perfect and very patient individual. But I'm going to tell you that there was just this feeling of anger that this is just not right that came up inside of me. And you know what? At that moment, I had two options. I could and was fully prepared to express my disapproval of the way that cashier handled the situation, or I could turn and say, God, I'm having a problem here. I'm having an issue. And I'm getting angry about it. And, you know, I chose the second one, and the cashier never knew that I was frustrated. The three people that bought their stuff never knew that I was frustrated. I just paid when I had an opportunity, finally. No, I paid. And so you can eat off of a plate that's been paid for. I didn't walk out without paying for it. And so God intervened in that situation again instantly. And you say, well, what did he do? Did he all of a sudden force her to charge you first? Or how did he come into your rescue? You know what? He calmed me down, and I left without the anger anymore. I was able to walk out knowing that that God is still in charge. So what Jesus is saying here is that we can go before him with all of our needs, and we can bombard heaven with our needs, and he is always going to answer. We may have the health issue of a family. We may have financial situation that needs to be resolved. We may have a relational issue, and you pray about it and so forth. You know what? I'm going to tell you, sometimes the prayer that you offer, you may be wanting one kind of response, but God always responds, but always in a different way, perhaps, than we may think about it. And I'll get to that in just a moment. This last week, I had two individuals that told me basically the same thing, that they began to pray for their family. They live in a hostile environment. They're the only Christians in the home, if you will. And one of them comes and says, you know, I have this son-in-law, this stepson who lives in the house with us. He's in his mid-20s. He's violent. He's angry. He uses drugs. He's tried to hit me. And the relationship was just so strained. And the father came to me and said, give me some advice on counseling and what I could say and what I could do. And I said, you know what, the best thing you could do, and this was months ago now, is pray. Pray for them. Pray for you. Pray for God to touch the life. And this last week he came to me, he says, Pastor, you'll never guess what happened this last week. And he used his stepson's name, and he said he came up to me when I was, the first thing in the morning, it was breakfast time, I was eating, my back was to him, and he came up behind me, I didn't even know he was there, and I was like, oh no, what did he do? Because he's hit him before, he's done mean things. He said, he just grabbed my shoulder, gave it this little squeeze, and he said, good morning, how are you doing, are you having a good day? He says, what's happening in his life? I said, you've been praying for him for 2 months. And that actually, a very similar story to that, and I don't need to go into details, happened again yesterday. The tow truck driver that was towing the car and I were having this conversation, and he had gone into the same situation. For 2 months, he'd been in that same type of a battle, and he had been praying for his family. And again, God is intervening, his son on drugs and his household and so forth. And so when we have these needs, we go before God. God, and we begin to pray. But God knows how to give good gifts, and Jesus offers an example. And the example that he gives, if you remember, he says, how many of you as fathers, and I know we're celebrating mothers today, but it's the same concept, that if your son comes to you and asks for a fish, how many of you would give him a snake? Well, no. Could you imagine your son coming along and saying, I would like to have a piece of fish. I'm hungry for lunch today. And you say, no, but reach your hand in this bag. I put a rattlesnake in there. You know, I mean, it's just not going to happen. The same thing. The son comes along and says, I'm hungry for breakfast. Give me an egg. And he says, you know, you're not going to get an egg. I'm going to give you a scorpion. Well, that's not going to happen. But there is something that Jesus is trying to teach us in this. Because he's saying that there is the possibility of an exchange. Now listen to what I'm saying here. Because oftentimes we will go before God and we will pray and we will say, this is what I need. I have a financial issue, so deposit money into my bank account. Whatever, all right? And if money isn't deposited into your bank account, you come to the conclusion, God didn't answer me. But what Jesus is saying is that God, being a good God, a good father, knows how to give the exchange. You know what? If my son comes to me and says, Dad, give me a fish for lunch. You know what? It's not strange for me to say, you know what? I don't have fish, but here's the quesadilla. I don't have fish, but we have the leftover pizza from last night. Or, you know, whatever it is, right? Is an exchange that will satisfy the need while he's hungry. So could he say, well, my dad never loved me because he never gave me the fish when I wanted the fish? No, he was still taken care of. And the same thing, when at breakfast time, he said, Dad, give me an egg. What happens when I say, well, we don't have any eggs, but here's some oatmeal? You understand what I'm saying? And it's not instead of an egg giving a scorpion, it's something that's good for him, something that's going to help him and satisfy the hunger. And so Jesus comes along and he says, I want you to pray in the same way, that you would ask what you need from God. He cover all of your problems and needs. And you know what? Jesus says there in the same text, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? Now, here's the question. How many times when we're praying and we need a tow truck, are we saying, God, I don't care if you send the tow truck, just give me the Holy Spirit. You know, when I was in the store this morning, I said, God, I just don't want to express anger. I just want to get through this. Here's my problem. And then all of a sudden, the resolve to the problem is the Holy Spirit coming and touching my heart and me being able to be changed in the moment. This is what we're talking about, my friends. We're talking about God is a good God who knows how to give good gifts. God is a God who responds to our requests. And he may not give us the exact thing that we are asking for, but he will respond. Jesus says, the one who asks receives. In other words, there is never, my friends, a time when you offer a prayer and God says, no, not going to answer that one. He always is willing to answer us. The problem is that most are not willing to accept the substitute, which is better than the original that we asked for to begin with. We're still stuck over here saying, but I want that new Mercedes, when God is saying, you get the Holy Spirit. And we would prefer is that crazy that a believer would prefer the Mercedes over the Holy Spirit? God gives us the ability to hear from him. We may end up when we're sick. And you know what? When you're sick, 1 minute longer with the sickness. If you've ever had a migraine headache, you know what I'm talking about. If you pray for healing, 1 minute delay is 1 minute too long. You understand what I'm saying? But there are times when we've been sick and God didn't jump to the moment and intervene in the instant. Why? Because in the process, because when we are weak, he is made strong. In the process, he's revealing more of himself to us, and we're seeing the Holy Spirit grow in our lives that we would never have had happen by the growth of faith as we walk through the problems if we had the problem resolved just like that, because God wants us to have more of his Holy Spirit. That's the thing. And that's what Jesus was saying. Over and over again, he says the same thing. We may never be in a situation where we go to the bank and find an unexplained $1 million deposit. But that doesn't mean that God isn't answering our financial problems. God is the one who clearly is taking care of us every single day. In Psalm 37, in verse 25, it says, I was young and now I'm old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or the children begging bread. Notice the psalmist isn't saying that we all get rich when we come to know the Lord. That when we love the Lord, we have big bank accounts. Doesn't say that. Says that their needs are met. The children aren't begging on the street. They have the sustenance. They have what they are needing because they have that righteous walk with them. And they just want more of the Lord. And Paul says it like this, I've learned how to be content in any and all situations. He didn't need more. Paul would say that I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection and fellowship in his sharing in his sufferings. He didn't want out of a situation. He didn't want into a situation. He wasn't trying to get these gifts. He was wanting one thing above all, the exact thing that Jesus says we will always receive when we pray, more of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're talking about. The relational problem may not instantly resolve. You know, when you have a conflict with somebody, you could pray about it, and you might think, all right, now I'm going to go back out and talk to them, and they're still angry. You know what? They might still be angry. But God is dealing with the situation. And you say, how? I don't see anything. Maybe he decided that the best course of action is to deal with you first, like he had to deal with me there in the store this morning. He didn't deal with the cashier for choosing the wrong person. He dealt with me. And oftentimes we want God to deal with everybody else except for me. And I understand from your perspective, that looked correct, that God should always deal with the pastor first, right? But the fact is that when we are praying, we are the first ones saying, Lord, send your Holy Spirit to touch my life. And you know what? While that happens, like the story I was telling when the stepson comes in after several months, and you know what? I have to wonder, what was the real change? I just throw it out there. I don't know. I don't live in the house. Was it always that the stepson was so angry? Or was dad provoking it? And when dad went to his knees for 2 months, had more of the Holy Spirit in his life, and the son began to respond to the witness in front of him. I'm not debating, but when we go to our knees, God is the one dealing with us first. And that is so powerful for us to understand. This is because God knows the best gift. And you know what? I'm going to tell you emphatically, without a doubt, the best gift that you could ever receive from Father God is more of His Spirit. God knows how to give the good gifts. That's what Jesus says. And how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? That's how He closes it. And so we get distracted. We say, no, I'm back here in Father, hallowed be your name. He spends very little time in the structure of the prayer and goes specifically to the attitude in prayer and say, recognize, understand that Father God wants to give an abundance of His Spirit. We want to live by the Spirit, don't we? In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You know, the only way you can keep in step with the Spirit is by having a prayer life. It's not the list of prayer requests that we're talking about. It's not the Christmas list. It's that life just dedicated to wanting more of God, and He pours the Holy Spirit out upon us. So how often do we pray for something, but God gives us something different? I'll tell you that my estimation is that that's probably the majority of the time. Most of the time, we don't know enough to say, God, in this situation, I just need more of your Holy Spirit. We're praying for something specific. We're hoping for that tow truck to show up. We're hoping for that cashier to charge me. We're hoping for, we have in mind what's the answer to our prayer. And I think that very rarely will we get what we had in mind, because God is the expert at substituting the best. And He knows that we need the Holy Spirit. And I want to take a moment to thank the moms for their persistence. You know what? One thing is sure true about moms. Moms, your job is not a sprint, but a marathon. I've seen moms that after their child gets to be a month and a half of age, they are already so tired and worn out. You say, aren't you happy that this is a 18-year commitment? You know, you just sometimes have to just rub it in a little bit. And then you say, you want me to take the baby for a little bit? Because they just haven't had sleep they've had 30 minutes of sleep in the last 36 hours and whatever is happening, and it's a long process. It's a long process. And then just about the time where mom feels like she has a little bit more freedom, all of a sudden along comes another baby. And the process can be extended. And moms, you do such a wonderful and exciting job. But the thing that I want to say is this: thank you for all of those prayers. We're talking about prayer today. Because your prayers, although it may have seemed that they weren't really accomplishing a great deal, sometimes us kids can be kind of stubborn in our ways. I mean, I have a brother and a sister. I was the perfect child, but my mom had to pray a lot every one of us have our errors, don't we? And mom would go to her knees, and she would pray for us, And maybe you don't have a mom in, that was a believer, but you have a spiritual mom, somebody that was praying for you and interceding for you. And you know what? Their goal was that you would be changed and transformed. But I think that oftentimes it's just like what we were talking about a moment ago, that mom, your life is changed and you reflect more and more of the Holy Spirit and the glory of God in your life day by day. And we, your children, see those things happening and we long for more of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the things that were of a long way off and you thought that this was never going to happen and the promises of God that God has made to you for your children, for your grandchildren, for your family, for your friends, all of these promises as you spend time praying and being inundated with the Holy Spirit, I promise you that the end result is worth it all because the change is coming. And they and our children and our children's children cannot help but be impacted when we bathe them with more and more of the Holy Spirit. We may not come out the way that you wanted us to come out, but your prayers, God took them, and God used the Holy Spirit to form in us the person that he wants us to be. And we are still works in process. How many are still a work in process? I'm still a work in process. I'm really close to being there, I'm sure, but we're all works in process, aren't we? And I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over moms, and then we're going to take this cake and cut it. That's why the tarp is up outside, so that you have plenty of time to be able to talk and without a problem for the next service coming in and so forth. And we're going to give all of you a slice of cake. And I just thank you for all being here. And the more that showed up, the thinner the pieces are, but we enjoy your presence. Lord, thank you for all the moms. I thank you specifically for my mom. I ask that you would bless her today on this special day. I ask that you would bless all the moms, that we would see the mighty impact of the years of persistent prayers that mom has had on our behalf. Lord, we are your children, and the one thing that we long for is more of your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us be like my grandson this week when we was given the option of deferring and saying, it's your turn to pray. We say, no, it's my turn again. I want to pray. I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life as well. Lord, accomplish that prayer. That be the prayer of highest importance in our lives. That we would abandon the prayers of rescue. That we would abandon the prayers of the Christmas list, because the one thing that we want more than anything is more of your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask that you would pour out upon us in abundance and inundate us with your glory. Lord, that's what we're after. Give us the Holy Spirit, Lord, as you promised. And we pray it in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. We'll see you on Wednesday at 11 a.m. And don't forget to get one of these new pamphlets if you'd like to have one. They're in the back in the entryway.